If you visit City Lights, you'll probably notice a lot of tourists gazing at a copy of Allen Ginsberg's Howl.
Angel-headed hipsters, burning for the ancient heavenly connection to the starry dynamo in the machinery of night.
The bookstore gained national prominence when Ferlinghetti decided to publish Howl in 1956. The seminal poem broke social taboos by talking about drugs and race.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked, dragging themselves through the Negro streets at dawn looking for an angry fix.
In an era characterized by conformity, Howl was a call to self-expression. But Howl became much more than that.
Who howled on their knees in the subway and were dragged off the roof waving genitals and manuscripts. Who let themselves be f***ed in the ass by saintly motorcyclists and screamed with joy.
In 1957, Ferlinghetti was put on trial for publishing obscene material.
Pity the nation whose people are sheep and whose shepherds mislead them. Pity the nation whose leaders are liars, whose sages are silenced, and whose bigots haunt the airwaves.
That trial became a center of the free speech movement, and it brought the Beat Generation, this little bookstore, and this wild poem to the world stage. In 2010, over 50 years after it was written, two filmmakers decided they would adapt this historic work. In this story from our archives, reporter Emily Wilson tells us how they went about making a movie about a poem and freedom of expression.
When you're making a movie, you begin with images.
Peyote solidities of halls, backyard green tree cemetery dawns, wine drunkenness over
Allen
the
Ginsberg
rooftops,
draws a landscape in words.
Joyride, neon blinking traffic lights, sun and moon and tree vibrations in the roaring winter dusks of Brooklyn.
Filmmakers Rob Epstein and Scott Friedman wanted to capture that in Howl through animation.
Illuminating all the motionless world of time between.
So they made a movie that's as much of an abstract work of art as the poem itself.
If we had made a documentary, we would have been talking to a lot of old-timers remembering back 50 years to something that happened when they were young. But we really wanted to try to capture that youthful, rebellious spirit that gave birth to the poem.
Yakety-yakking, screaming, vomiting, whispering facts and memories and anecdotes and eyeball kicks and shocks of hospitals and jails and wars.
Ginsberg collected underground political posters made by Eric Drucker. He's an artist, draws covers for the New Yorker magazine, writes graphic novels. Vivid, kinetic images. Epstein and Friedman told Drucker they wanted him to animate Howl.
Animate Howl. So I thought they were completely nuts. I mean, I thought they, what are you, high on crack? Are you crazy? Animate Howl? Sure, why don't we, well, let's animate Dante's Inferno while we're at it, fellas. Give me your break.
Who ate fire and paint hotels, or drink turpentine in Paradise Alley? Death, or purgatory, their torsos night after night with dreams, with drugs, with waking nightmares.
The language in Howl is like cubism, like jazz.
I guess I would call it kaleidoscopic in its form. It was written in the mid-50s, and it's kind of the tail end of high modernism, what Picasso was doing in painting. What Miles Davis and Charlie Parker were doing with music on the horn, Ginsberg was attempting to do, really for the first time, with words, which was just to have a series of intense, very vivid, very concrete images.
Moloch, whose factories dream and croak in the fog.
This was written 55 years ago.
Moloch, whose love is endless oil and stone.
He's talking about oil and stone.
The Republican candidate for president of the United States today directly tied the Iraq war and the prospects of further American bloodshed in the Middle East to the price and availability of oil.
Oil and
stone.
The characters and Howell took shape in Drucker's imagination.
So this is how I portray Moloch, is almost a minotaur-like creature with the head of a bull and a human body, kind of a Schwarzenegger's body.
Hasta la vista.
Head of a bull. In fact, the face even looks a little like Arnold's. Now that I look at it again.
Moloch, whose soul is electricity and Banks. Moloch, whose poverty is the specter of genius. Moloch, whose fate is a cloud of sexless hydrogen. Moloch, whose name is the mind.
Howell is art, and it's history.
The three old shrews of fate. The one-eyed shrew of the heterosexual dollar.
Of the heterosexual
dollar. The one-eyed
dollar.
Shrew that winks out of the womb.
Winks out
and
of the
one-eyed
womb.
Shrew
and the one-eyed
that
shrew that does nothing.
But sit on her ass and snip the intellectual
golden
threads
of the craftsman's loom.
In 1957, Lawrence Ferlinghetti of City Lights Books in San Francisco faced jail time for publishing obscene material.
Who copulated ecstatic and insatiate with a bottle of beer, a sweetheart, a package of cigarettes, a candle, and fell off the bed, and continued along the floor and down the hall, and ended fainting on the wall with a vision of ultimate and cum, eluding the last jism of consciousness.
What I want to show is on the first page inside of Howell, it says, all these books are published in heaven. And I don't quite understand that. But anyway, let the record show, Your Honor, it's published by the City Lights Pocket Bookshop.
I mean, the issues that are raised are still being debated. You know, the limits of free speech, if any, the role of the artist in society, what's acceptable for an artist to do or say.
You understand what angel-headed hipsters burning for the ancient heavenly connection to the starry dynamo in the machinery of night means?
Sir, you can't translate poetry into prose. That's why it is poetry.
Holy forgiveness, mercy, charity, faith, holy, ours, bodies, suffering, magnanimity. Holy, the supernatural, extra intelligent, brilliant kindness of the soul.
Allen Ginsberg's voice joins with Eric Drucker's animation in Scott Friedman and Rob Epstein's Howl, a new chapter of an American history.
Hey, Father Death. I'm flying home. Hey, poor man, you're all alone.
For Cross Currents, I'm Emily Wilson.
I know where I'm going. Father Death, don't cry anymore. Mama's there underneath the floor. Brother Death, please mind the store. Old Auntie Death.